iDev revisions, PyTrivial SQL, and bitching. Posted on Wednesday, January 17, 2024. So, I recently did some work rewriting most of AI Dev, link in post, as well as adding a new mini utility to Shell UI, link in post. And I did it in service of pushing a new minor library that I'll be using in some upcoming catwalk, link in post revisions. So strap in. Here's a quick tour of the changes. The object level. Okay, so the thing I'm actually working on here is a set of SQL bindings, link in post, that I found myself copy-pasting into three projects over the past while. It's up at PyPy, link in post, after a baffling amount of security theater, but that's not the point. The point is that I wanted to actually make this thing a proper capital P project, which means proper linting, a test suite, and some CD courtesy of GitHub Action. The problem is that one of the big things the linter is telling me to fix is C116 missing function or method docstring missing function docstring. I'm not a big fan of docstrings in general. They tend to get ignored or weirdly out of sync with the surrounding code. They're mildly annoying to write and extremely annoying to read unless they're done remarkably well. A much better strategy than depending on docstrings is keeping your functions classes small and well-named and keeping any intent level docs either in a README file or possibly in module level docstring. I recognize how crazy this position might sound coming from someone who has an almost literate programming tag as blogs archives, has done pretty extensive work on diagram compilation, has written a notebook style editor. I maintain that this is maximally consistent. What all of those documentation strategies have in common is that they're much harder to accidentally desync from the attached code than usual comments and docstrings, and B, they focus on a higher level of imparting insight than a specific function or class and try to cut to the intent rather than current implementation of the code you're reading. But fucked if I'm gonna be dinged by my linter for disobeying the rules. And I do have that thing I wrote a little while ago. Link in post. So why not let a robot do this for me? The meta level. When I went to use AD to generate these docstrings, it fucked up on me. It turns out that my curl SSL certs are fucked. And also, the Emacs requests library either bottoms out in a curl call or uses the same cert stack, because I kept getting back error 60, link in post, against API, openai.com. This is complete bullshit, because I can call it just fine from Python's requests, link in post, or by navigating there in Firefox. After spending around 30 minutes trying to diagnose this, I said fuck it and decided to route around the problem. The meta level. Here is a code block. This is Python code that uses the requests library to make an HTTP post request to the OpenAI chat API. It sends a model name and a list of messages as input and receives a completion response as output. The API key is read from an environment variable. The code also includes an option parser to specify the GPT model to use and prints the chat result. That's the end of the code block. This is exactly what it looks like. I want a command line utility that I'll include with my Shell UI repo that lets me call into the ChatGPT APT API from bash once I schmod plus exit and put it onto my path. Here is a code block. This is a code block written in Shell scripting language. It uses the GPT command to send JSON formatted requests to an AI assistant. The assistant responds with different messages based on the content of the requests. The code demonstrates a conversation with the assistant where it provides appropriate responses to the user's inputs. That's the end of the code block. I hope I didn't hurt its machine feelings. Anyway, with that done, I can rewrite aidev.lp. Back to the meta level. Here is a code block. This code block is written in Emacs Lisp. It defines several functions that interact with an 8i chatbot using the adevchat function. The adevchat function takes a list of messages and sends them to the chatbot, returning the response. The other functions in this block provide different ways to interact with the chatbot, such as inserting the chat response into the buffer or refactoring code based on the chat response. That's the end of the code block. The important parts here are actually the second and third bit. Here is a code block. The first code block is written in Emacs Lisp. It defines a function adevchat that takes a list of messages, encodes them as JSON, and uses the GPT command to generate a response. The response is then trimmed and returned. The second code block is also in Emacs Lisp. It defines a function adevDocumentPythonRegion that collects some information, including the current major mode and the selected region in the buffer. It sends this information as a prompt to the adevchat function and inserts the response at the end of the selected region. That's the end of the code block. The adevchat function now takes some message maps and uses the earlier shell script to actually hit open it. It's a PI. This ended up unexpectedly simplifying the workflow here, because it used to do the async callback thing, but can now just execute straight line code. This is an improvement under the assumption that the API hit gets back on an interactive timescale, which, because I'm using GPT 3.5 Turbo, seems to actually happen. Now that I've got this put together, I can hop back into PyTrivialSchool and grab a region like here is a code block. This is a code block written in Python. It defines a function called wordDictToClauseToAstring, which takes in two parameters, k and v. It checks the type of v and returns a string-based school clause based on its type. That's the end of the code block. Doom x idevDocumentPythonRegionRet and see the resulting. Here is a code block. This is a Python code block defines the same function as above, except that it has a large function level docstring. That's the end of the code block. I've got Python black mode wired into my editor, so it got appropriately reformatted automatically. This is not an awful explanation, and given the inputs here, I don't think someone who doesn't actually know the intent of this function could do a better job explaining it. But note that what we've got here is a technical, low-level explanation that references parentheses and comma-separated lists, as opposed to a goal-level explanation that references set membership. It does make correct note of the special case handling of the none case. I'm tempted to call this much better than a half-assed attempt by a human programmer, and consider it a net utility gain. However, I still maintain that the right thing to do here is let the reader inspect explain this code for themselves rather than effectively catching the explanation and risking stale docstrings. You can see the results, including test suite and seed setup over at the Patrivial SQL repo, link in post. I'll probably do a bit more work on that shortly. As always, I'll let you know how it goes. This post had two footnotes that were omitted from this recording for now.